Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving break. We're kicking off another work week here with listener Brianna talking about a great trip down to Walt Disney World. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. Learn how you can use Walt Disney's Final Dream of Epcot, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow, to see your own dreams come true. In Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes challenges you to transform your life by applying the lessons that Walt Disney, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and Epcot teach us. This is the perfect gift for the Disney fan in your life this holiday season. Pick up a copy on Amazon or drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. Again, got a Disney fan in your life? This is a great stocking stuffer. It'll give them great information for the next 365 days. And you know what? It'll probably benefit you too. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1255 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. And there's a special birthday going on today, but I'm not going to say who, so you're going to have to do a little research to try to figure that one out. But irregardless, I hope you're, you know, full of turkey and stuffing. The leftovers, hopefully you still have a few left. You don't have too many left at this point. But I could eat those leftovers year round and hopefully add lots of college football. Life is good this time of year. Now we are into the holiday season hardcore. So get ready. Remember, online shopping, use our Amazon affiliate link. Just saying, it'll help the show. But anyway, we're here to talk about some great Disney trips. We're going to talk about Walt Disney World and Disneyland today. You get a little twofer here coming off Thanksgiving. So joining me from down in San Antonio, Texas, we have Bree. Bree, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being patient and, you know, waiting for, I know we have a long time to wait to get on the show. I don't know what else to do, but to put out like 12 shows a week. You know, I appreciate the patience and we're gonna have a good time talking Disney today.
Definitely.
All right. So let's hop into this because you've been to Walt Disney World and Disneyland since we have been communicating via email. And I kind of want to start off with your trip to Walt Disney World last spring where you celebrated your brother's high school graduation, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was kind of like a three celebration because we celebrated my birthday. His birthday was also in March over spring break when we went, and his high school graduation as well.
So are you the planner for the family, or how does your planning come together? That's one of the things that intrigues me just as much as the trip itself. It's, you know, why did you decide to go when you went? Why did you decide to stay where you went? And like, who did all the planning itself?
Definitely. So both my dad and I are huge, huge planners. And, you know, you have to be with Disney World. I mean, you have to start making your dining reservations 180 days out. You can't do Disney World without planning. But it's really interesting for my family because my dad is a huge photographer. He loves taking pictures of everything. My brother loves Star Wars, so we definitely had to get some Hollywood studios in there. I love princesses, so I'm doing all the meet and greets, and my mom will do all of the roller coasters. But we really had to kind of come together and be like, okay, this is what we want to do as a family. These are our favorite restaurants, and kind of build a foundation from there.
Man, that's a good way to do it because, you know, you take what you can, what you can get as far as ADRs, fast passes, and then, you know, you can kind of rough in the hardcore plan around that. Now, it sounds like your family's really tight. Did you guys stay together the entire trip?
No. definitely not. It's nice that my brother and I'm 20 and my brother was 18 at the time. We're at an age where we can kind of go off and do our own thing. And so we did do a lot of things together. We rode a lot of the rides. Most of our fast passes were together. And of course, all of our dinners for the most part were together. But like I said, my dad will definitely go off and take pictures if he sees something really pretty. And then I will go off and meet a character. And my brother and my mom will go and ride rides. Most of the time we're together, but we definitely have our own little unique things that we like doing that no one else will want to do with us.
So let me ask you this, because I get this question a lot, you know, as far as just people in my everyday life and also here, you know, in the inbox for the podcast. What are some of the things that somebody in your brother's age bracket really enjoy down at Walt Disney World? Because it's kind of a tough age. You know, you're not 21 yet, so, you know, you can't drink, you know, if you were to drink. And, you know, you're no longer like a, you know, preteen. You're like on the cruise line. That's a challenging age, too. So what are some of the highlights for you?
Yeah, definitely. It's a really, really tough age. But, you know, when you're at Disney, you basically get to be a big kid. So it's perfect. We did a lot of the rides together. So we love doing Star Tours. That's one of my family's favorite rides. A lot of the shows were absolutely perfect for just about any age. My family loved the Maharaja Jungle Track and the Kilimanjaro Safari. It's really just finding, you know, these few little things, you know, whatever your family is good for or whatever they like the most to kind of bring everyone together.
So have you guys gone to the Disney parks often? Is this something that, you know, because I think you have a different sense of your vacation when you've been many times before. You know, you don't have to see everything. You don't have to go as hardcore and as quickly through things. You can kind of sit back and do things like Maharaja Jungle Track or, you know, some of the lesser known attractions. So are you one of those Disney families that gets to go quite often?
I wish. As a family, we've only been 3 times, and then I've been a few more times doing solo trips.
Nice.
So we still try to pack as much as we can into, you know, the week that we have.
College program. I'm telling you, my biggest regret. You got to do it.
I know. I've applied for it twice now. They want my money. They just don't want me.
To stay, you know, Walt said, have some perseverance. You'll make it, but we'll root for you.
Anyway, working on it.
I like to hear that because I was
I'll
just too
dumb. I'll let you know.
Okay, good deal. Well, we're behind you. All right. So you guys stayed at the Boardwalk for this trip, and I love this resort. Stayed there for the first time last marathon weekend, and it was never on my radar. Like, I looked at everything else, and I'm like, Boardwalk, you know, because like the theme is for somebody from the Midwest, at least for myself, I was just like, you know, boardwalks don't do much for me. But after staying there, I loved it. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, my family absolutely loved it. My dad said if he ever goes back to Disney World, then he is never staying at another resort besides the Boardwalk. It was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was just this perfect old time American, you know, Jersey Boardwalk. And there was so much to do. There were, you know, little shows on the boardwalk. There was so many places to eat. There were so many activities. Like, you cannot go wrong by doing the boardwalk. There's something for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's some of the resorts just kind of have more of a heartbeat to them than others. And that, you know, that's great because some people like that. Some people want the quiet, you know. I think French Quarter itself is like very quiet and romantic, where Boardwalk, there's a lot of, you know, especially on the weekends, there's a lot of hustle and bustle on the Boardwalk. Like you said, street performers, magicians, jugglers, and you got the carnival games, you got the cart with all the carnival foods that'll, you know, kill you if you eat too much of it. But I enjoyed that because I like to get outside and take in the atmosphere, because you have Crescent Lake right there with the boats coming and going, people coming and going. I mean, your footsteps from Epcot. Now, did you guys take advantage of that being so close to the studios in Epcot that you were able to walk to those parks?
Oh, definitely. We definitely took advantage of that. I mean, it was so much faster walking compared to taking a boat or a bus. How could you not?
So how do you guys typically tour the parks? Are you like rope droppers and take a break? Or do you go all day? Or how's your touring usually go?
Definitely. So as a family, you will try to make it by rope drop. That doesn't usually happen. So we will go and go and go. And we'll usually take lunch. We'll go back to the hotel for a couple hours, take a break, and then go back. We'll usually go to a different park in the afternoon and go, 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 go until somebody's like, I'm done. Time to go back.
That's good because, you know, with being in a deluxe resort, usually have that proximity to at least one, if not two, theme parks, which make going back, if you're the one that peters out, very easy. And the thing about going back to a place like Boardwalk is you're not just going back and having downtime, you know, or like, you know, like you're missing out on anything because you have an amazing pool. You have just, you know, you could walk the boardwalk and just, you know, pick up some candy, go to the bakery or go to the store down there. I mean, there's so much to do that even on your downtime, like it's not really downtime, but you're outside the park time is still it's awesome vacation time.
It still is. There is no way to not be doing something, even if it's just walking around and exploring.
All right, so let's talk about some of your meals here during, down at Walt Disney World. What are some of your favorites from this trip and maybe just in general from the other times you've been?
Definitely. So one of the first day we were there, we started off at Hollywood Studios and, you know, we did the Fantasmic dinner package and we did the Mama Melrose.
Yes.
And it is one we had done before. And what was hilarious was we got the same waiter from 2 years ago. I mean, he didn't remember us, of course, but my family did. And it's just such a crazy coincidence that that happened.
That's funny. He was waiting for you for 2 years to come back. He was holding that table for you guys. Probably.
I know. He must have missed us a whole lot.
He's like, where's Bree from Texas? We're waiting.
Yeah. And the food was so good, too. Now, I'm like your daughter, Paige. I'm a picky eater still, even though, you know, I'm 20. So I ended up getting the chicken penne pasta, which according to my family is, you know, adult mac and cheese. Yeah. I don't care. It was still delicious. And the little desserts that we got afterwards were so, so good. I mean, even if you're not doing Fantasmic dinner package, you should definitely give Mama Melrose a try.
Now, I've never personally done the Fantasmic dinner package, but this past summer we did the dining package for that Pixar Live on Stage where they had the symphony. And so we ate at Mama Melrose as well, and they had a special where it was like a kind of like a combo meal. You got an appetizer, an entree. Mm-hmm. And a dessert for a set price with the ticket to, you know, have a seat to the show. And it was really, really inexpensive for what you got because you got to order off the regular menu anything you wanted from an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. And I think ours that we ordered ended up being $15. Like, if you would have bought them separately, it was $15 more than what we paid. So I don't know if Fantasmic dinner package works the same or is it just you have the seating? I mean, was there anything other than that?
No, it's exactly the same. You get to pick pretty much whatever you want off of the appetizer and the entree menu. We did, I don't think we got to choose our desserts, but hey, they were still good anyway. It's right. Definitely worth it.
That's right. And we're probably deserted out about now with Thanksgiving, the pumpkin pie. We have chocolate cream pie around here because I'm not a big pumpkin person, but we'll make do. Okay, so talk about some of your other meals during this trip.
Definitely. We also did the Tiffin's dinner package with the Rivers of Light. You know, this was right after Tiffin's had first opened. Oh my gosh, that restaurant is beautiful. But, I mean, the decor is just gorgeous.
You know, I've never eaten there myself yet, but you're a self-proclaimed picky eater. And to me, from the people, you know, I've talked to Pam, I've talked to Ricky, they've both eaten there multiple times. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like it would be a place for a picky eater at all. Other than the decor, I mean, it's probably beautiful, but I can't imagine you had an octopus or anything, right?
No. I think my mom or my dad got the octopus. I tried it. I did try it, but it wasn't for me. The appetizers were a little bit adventurous for me, to say the least. I think I ended up getting like a cheese platter, which most of the cheeses I actually really liked. I think actually there was Brie cheese on there. Even though my name is Brie, I've never had Brie cheese.
Oh, there you go.
So that was fun. I ended up getting the filet mignon because, like we said, I'm from Texas, so meat is my department. But it was so, so good. And then the cheesecake that we got afterward was beautiful. Like, just in the presentation, you almost didn't want to eat it. But then you eat it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this is so good.
So Tiffin's is a place that it's going to be on your radar the next time you go down to Walt Disney World again?
100%.
Nice. I like to hear that. All right, how about another couple?
Oh, my goodness. Let me go back through my notes. We ended up doing the Keys to the Kingdom tour.
Yes.
And that was so much fun. And we ended up eating, where did we eat?
At the Columbia Harbor House for the tour?
Yes, and that was definitely very good. We only got to pick from, you know, a few little, I think only like three little menu items, but definitely that was still good. My parents ended up going to Flying Fish for their adult night out, and they absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
and then my brother and I went to Blaze Pizza down in Disney Springs. That was so much fun. That's a really fun restaurant.
It is. And somebody's meal was a lot more expensive than the other. That's too extreme. I love Blaze because it's pretty cheap for Disney. And it's actually really good. I know a lot of people have Blaze Pizzas in their towns. We don't have them here in St. Louis. But I love the idea of really customizing that pizza to whatever you want it to be. And it's fast and relatively inexpensive. And it's a great place for a picky eater because you can really get what you want.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I liked it. And we ended up going to Sprinkles while my brother and I were down in Disney. Have you ever heard of the icing shot?
Yes, I have heard of those. Ricky talks about them frequently.
I got the icing shot. That was pretty fun.
I always get the red velvet cupcake when I'm there. I'm pretty plain, but red velvet all the way at Sprinkles.
Get an icing shot next time. It's like a sugar rush. It's pure sugar.
I'm in. That sounds like something good for after a dopey challenge in January here in about, 30, 40 days.
Oh, have fun with that.
Oh, yeah. You run to eat. That's the ultimate weekend to just eat whatever you want. You don't feel bad.
You deserve it.
So let me ask you about, you mentioned Keys to the Kingdom, and we get questions about that frequently. That is my favorite. And I've done quite a few Walt Disney World tours at this point because my wife has gotten into the habit of, for our anniversary, which is in June, when we go down in the summer, she likes to gift me a tour, which I love because I love experiences. I love learning more about Walt Disney World. Keys to the Kingdom was my first, and it's still probably my favorite because of, you know, I like the Utilidors, but I also like that it's a good sampling of the Magic Kingdom. You know, I've done the steam trains, Marceline to the Magic Kingdom. I've done the Epcot's tour, but I just like that it really feels like it's giving you some access that you don't have, and so many things you walk by as a Disney fan that you just don't notice until they're called out on this tour. So what was your experience like, and would you recommend this for other folks?
Yeah, definitely. So I am the self-proclaimed Disney nerd of my family. I think I've kind of pulled them along with the Disney obsession a little bit, not as much as I'd like, but we're working on it. So my mom had wanted to do the Keys to the Kingdom tour back in 2014, the last time we had gone. And we were kind of like, no, I don't really want to spend, like, just, we thought we were going to waste a half a day just going on a really boring tour. That was not it at all. I thought, you know, going into it that, you know, I know everything about Disney. There's nothing that they can teach me. No, there is so much that you don't know about. So when you're doing it, you get to see so much stuff backstage. And, you know, when you are backstage, you can ask them all sorts of questions that, you know, you wouldn't be able to ask when you're on stage and, you know, in public view. And so we were able to go and see the reservoir for Splash Mountain and see where they keep all of the parade floats for Festival of Fantasy. And you learn so much, like in the Tiki Room, you know, it on the outside, it looks like it's almost got like the straw roofing. Mm-hmm. It's made out of recycled aluminum. Yeah. I never knew that. For, you know, someone who's experienced like you or a complete Disney newbie, it's perfect for just about anyone. You can learn so much.
And what I'm thinking with those kind of tours now, if I were to do it a second time, which I'm very much probably going to do here in the next year or two, is that while you would probably get about 75% of the same information, because I'm sure there's a script and, you know, certain, you know, an outline that they need to cover, you know, for each area, each, you know, place they take you, I'm sure that each cast member puts a different spin on it. And according to the questions of the group you're with, you could probably get a, you know, a pretty different experience or learn a lot more even on a second time doing this tour.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, every tour guide has, you know, their favorite things to point out that some may not consider, you know, quite as important, or they have their favorite stories to tell. I think our tour guide, because, you know, they also do the VIP tours for the celebrities. And she said that she had done the tour for, you know, Ariana Grande and had done all of these wonderful things and met all of these people that you couldn't get that kind of information from a different guide, and I'm sure the same is for every other guide that you have.
Yeah, could you imagine being one of those folks who gets to, you know, lead these tours? You know, because I can tell you're a huge Disney fan, just like I am, and like our listeners probably today are. I mean, that would be like, you know, just turning you loose in a playground. Like, you get to talk to other people who are interested in knowing a little bit more about Disney. You get to walk around the Magic Kingdom. And then when you're not leading tours, you're taking around, you know, folks that you would never get to meet, you know, like the people you see on TV, like Ariana Grande or, you know, whoever comes through. That'd be such an amazing role. I've always thought about that. That'd be so cool.
I would definitely want to do that. They were telling me that you have to work in the park for a certain amount of time before you can even apply to be a tour guide. Like, you have to know everything, and you get to share your passion with people every single day. What could be better than that?
I know. We're lucky to get to do the show and talk to people all over the world every three times a week, which is awesome. But man, that'd be amazing. And I'm glad that Disney holds them to that standard, because when you put somebody in that position, you could really make or break somebody's idea of the Disney company as a whole, of Walt Disney World as a destination, if you have somebody who is A, not knowledgeable, but also not passionate about what they're doing. You know, every person I found that's in the Plaid, you know, they are excited. They, you know, and I know that it's a job and they're there and they're putting in their time, you know, but they always seem like this is their passion and they're excited to be there, and they play their role so well. So kudos to those folks.
Definitely. They're amazing.
All right. So let's talk about the celebration. So you had a few celebrations this trip. Did you do anything special, or was it just going there was the celebration itself? Did you take any time out to celebrate your brother or anything like that?
No, the going there was definitely a celebration itself. I mean, we tried to incorporate what he liked to do. Like I said earlier, he loves Star Wars. So we made sure to do the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular and the dinner with that. And we definitely spent more time in Hollywood Studios and doing Star Wars stuff than we normally would have on a different trip.
Now, did you find the studios to be, because I mean, it's definitely still in a huge transition mode. I mean, how did you feel about it back in the spring? I mean, was it something you just went in, saw the Star Wars stuff, and you were out? You know, back then we still had a Great Movie Ride. What were your thoughts? I mean, what was your day like there?
Oh, rip the Great Movie Ride. So we definitely spent a lot of time doing Star Tours and doing a lot of that. But, you know, we also did a lot of the other things that Hollywood Studios has to offer. We did, the boys went and saw the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. And as a family, we all rode Rock and Roller Coaster. I went and saw the Citizens of Hollywood Land. There's one there called Betty Shambles, and I absolutely adore her. She is hilarious. Yes. If you ever get to meet them, they're wonderful. And we got to trade with the Jawas for a little bit before they left, and we got to meet Kylo Ren and Chewbacca. He's very tall,
you know. Yes, he is. Well, I'm
and of
almost
course,
as tall.
We had to do the Toy Story Midway Mania and the Great Movie Ride. We try to take everything of Hollywood Studios in.
That's how it needs to be. I love it. You guys sound like you really enjoy the whole overall experience, which I love. So now let's make a transition, because you went there in the spring, and then in August you guys went to Disneyland. So tell me about, well, we talked about planning for Walt Disney World. Was there any similarities or differences in how you approached your Disneyland trip?
There were. So Disneyland was actually just me. My family stayed at home. So I had told myself that, you know, if I don't get into the Disney College program this time, then I'm going to go to Disneyland.
That's a way to celebrate. So I like it. That's a good idea.
Disneyland.
You win either way that way. You know, like, you can't
either
lose.
Either way, I win. I got a travel agent with Magic for Less, and, you know, we started planning, and I'm like, go, 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 let's get these reservations, let's do the dinners, and you get there, and it's so laid back.
Now, we know, I haven't been there yet, and I'm going to be there soon. I'm making this happen, but, it seems like it would stress out Walt Disney World fans. Like, it kind of gives me the, you know, like, oh my gosh, like I can't go there without having, you know, an Excel sheet in the back pocket.
Yeah, it definitely took some getting used to. It was, especially because you can't plan your fast passes ahead. And so that was something that I definitely had to, you know, try and figure out, because I'm like, well, what if there's no fast pass at the time that I want to go? You know, how it's going to ruin my whole day. Nothing's going to go right.
It's
because
funny.
I was alone.
Well, it's
single
funny too.
Single rider all the way.
Well, yeah, and that's a great point. That's a great point to have. That's an advantage for you. But it's also so weird how over the past 5 years, how mindsets have changed. Because with Legacy Fastpass at Walt Disney World before, you know, My Magic Plus and Fastpass Plus and all the implementations of those systems, you know, we are like, oh, I just want to be able to run to the machine, punch the thing, and go back in a couple hours. And now it's like, oh, I can't schedule things. How am I going to know? Because there's still like this. We didn't realize we didn't have certainty in our plans back then because it was just a matter of when you got there and, you know, your fast pass might be an hour later. It might be 7 hours later, depending on the crowds that day. Now we have an idea exactly when it's going to happen 2 months or 1 month in advance. It is funny how mindsets change, but were you able to adapt kind of quickly, especially being on your own? I mean, I would think it'd be pretty easy to kind of get used to that, you know, the old system that you were in.
Yeah. So actually I didn't know this, but you know, I was there, my first full day was a Monday and I got there and I was getting ready and I had the TV on and it was the locals, the Californians' first day back at school. So I was like, this is perfect timing. So the crowds really weren't that bad at all. And the weather was absolutely perfect. But right before I went down, Disneyland introduced Max Pass. Mm-hmm. So for $10 a day, you know, you can get all of your photo pass pictures as well as you can schedule your fast passes a day of. You have to, you know, be checked in into the parks, but you can go ahead and make your fast passes from your phone, which I thought was a fantastic idea. Instead of, you know, running from booth to booth, I could just be like, I like a fast pass at this time, and it works.
What I think somebody coming from Walt Disney World from that aspect, like from that experience and that system, MaxPass would be something that's, I think it's a no-brainer for everybody because you're getting an advantage, plus you're getting, you know, pictures, but it's going to simplify things. And we say this time and time again, but time is money on a vacation, and it is vacation. You don't want to have to work yourself to death. You want to enjoy things. And did you find that that was a good value? That's something you would recommend to our audience?
Definitely, especially those photos, because I had bought a photo package, I think for, you know, $99 or something like that, right before MaxPass was introduced. And I could have saved like $60 because it was only $10 a day. And I was there for 3 days. I could have saved so much money. I was definitely kicking myself a little bit for that, but it is so worth it. So, so worth it. And the photographers were amazing.
That's awesome. So walk us through your time at Disneyland and DCA. I mean, what were some of the things that stood out to you? You know, you're a world person, you've been there, but what about Disneyland still sticks out to you today?
There were characters everywhere. Because, you know, usually in Disney World, it's very controlled. They always have a photo pass photographer. They always have a character attendant. And there's a set certain time before they get there. When I first walked in my very first day, before I even saw Sleeping Beauty Castle, I saw Cruella de Vil. And within the first hour, I think I met like 5 different characters. And, you know, they were all by themselves. They didn't have an attendant. They didn't have a photographer. But they were just kind of doing their own thing and interacting with the guests. And it was just so unique and different from Disney World that just blew me away.
Yeah, the idea of that seems so old-fashioned to me. But then again, when I think of Disneyland as a destination, the whole idea of Disneyland seems old-fashioned and kind of stepping back in time. I mean, that's how I assume it's going to be for me, and also to feel the history of Walt actually building that place himself. But, I mean, what were your thoughts? I mean, is it kind of like more of like a time capsule than World?
It really is, especially because it's so much smaller. You know, you can feel Walt, you know, because he walked down Main Street and, you know, he passed away before Disney World's ever opened. And because there is so much Walt there, you are truly stepping into not only a Disney bubble, but a Walt bubble.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's going to be, because I've been to Marceline and I felt Walt there, and there's not much in Marceline. Let me just tell you, it's a couple streets in the middle of Missouri and some fields, but it was a neat feeling. So I can't wait to be where all these things that have, you know, consumed my life. It's totally changed my path and my career, everything, because I wanted to chase my passion. It all goes back to that man and that place. So I'm excited. It sounds like you were too. So what were some of your favorite things to do when you were there? You know, did anything really stand out besides characters, like attractions, shows, restaurants, anything like that?
Yeah. So as far as restaurants go, I kind of lived off of Mickey bars and Mickey pretzels.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. So that was, I can't really speak to the restaurants very much, but there were so many different attractions that, you know, you can't experience in Disney World. You know, there are a few of the same ones. like Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean. And, you know, people do make those comparisons between land and worlds, and I have to agree with them. Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean are so much better in Disneyland. You know, they're longer and they're very well maintained, and even the technology is better in some of them. And I absolutely fell in love with the Matterhorn. You know, I think within one night I rode it like 5 times because, again, you know, I was alone and I had the single rider. And I mean, how could you not? You can get on in 5 minutes.
So we also get this question a lot, too, as far as going on a trip like this, whether it's to World or Disneyland solo. So, and I've done this a couple times just for media events because you're not allowed to bring anybody, you know, and but I mean, I'm going to go because I get to, you know, get the inside scoop of what's coming in the next few months. And I get there and I'm excited because it's my favorite place. Don't get me wrong. I love it. Like, I'm at Walt Disney World, like, you know, and it's so cool with the access we get. But then, you know, I'm walking down Main Street to, you know, you get some free time in the parks. And I'm like, I see a dad and his daughter. And I'm like, oh, what am I doing here by myself? You know, I don't have my loved ones around me. So what's that like for somebody that's considering a solo trip? I think it's easier when you're younger. But, you know, I think everybody should give it a shot.
I don't regret going by myself at all. You know, my family can stay behind. I'll go and do whatever. But I thought it was great because I have a different travel mindset than my parents do. You know, like I said earlier, we don't necessarily get there at rope drop and we go back and take a break. I'm there at rope drop. I'm there all day long. I'm there when it closes. I mean, even when we went to Disney World, I think everybody went home at 8 and Magic Kingdom was open until 1, and I shut down Magic Kingdom at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I loved it because I could do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. You know, I didn't have to stop and sit for an hour while someone took a break or wanted to have a nice meal, which, you know, nice meals are great and all, but there's so much to do. And so I got to do everything that I wanted. So personally, Tower of Terror isn't really one of my favorite rides, but usually I get coerced into going onto it by a loving family member. And so for this one, they just opened Guardians of the Galaxy, that ride with the old Tower of Terror. And I didn't have to go on it. I watched the Guardians of the Galaxy show and I saw the characters, and just do a solo trip. You get to do whatever you want, and there's nothing better than that in Disney World.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, as far as going solo, and you've pretty much said it without saying it, you get so much done. It shocks you. Yes. Like, you know, you will go into the park and 4 hours later, you'll be like, whoa, I just got done like what it took a day to do, and I'm with my family. And that's not a bad, you know, it's not good or bad. It's just different because, you know, they'll be like, we have any single riders, and boom, you're in the front of that line, you know, or there's a single rider line, you know, for yourself. Or, you know, you can just move so quickly. Like you said, you can grab a Mickey bar, eat on the run, you're in the next attraction. I mean, it is amazing. And you know, you tend to eat counter service or snacks, and it's a different mindset, but it's a ton of fun. I love sharing it on social media too when I'm doing that. It kind of takes the, you know, you're by yourself out of the equation. It's fun to share.
It's so much fun. It's fun to share and be like, I'm having fun while y'all are back in Texas.
That's even better. Yeah, exactly. You suckers are at work on a Monday and I'm at Disneyland. What's going on? Where'd you stay for this trip?
So I stayed at the Disneyland Hotel.
Oh man, you did it right.
I tried. You know, I'm treating myself, so might as well go all out.
So,
and I loved it.
That's what I was going to say. So tell us about that, because when I go, that's where I'm staying. That's my place.
Do it. So there are don't get me wrong. I mean, the Grand Californian is beautiful. And the other one, I think, is Paradise Pier or something. It's probably wonderful as well. But Disneyland Hotel has this little touch of magic that you really can't find anywhere else. There are so many little Disney touches in the room. You know, there are hidden Mickeys in the carpet, in the bedding, in the bathroom, on the shower, in the mirrors. Like, it's just everywhere. And so if you really want to be immersed in that Disneyland magic, Disneyland Hotel is the way to go.
Oh, sounds so good. Man, I'm as fired up to go do Keys of the Kingdom tour when we're talking about World. Now I want to get to Disneyland. And I bet you it's really, I've heard that it's awesome for the holidays. You know, we're kicking off the holiday season here. And that's my problem, is I can't decide when I want to go. I told myself I didn't want to go during a Run Disney weekend because those weekends are so busy with the races and stuff. Well, they took care of that for me, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. That's not a problem. So now I just got to find like a good time to get out there when we can enjoy it. I think I want to go out for 4 or 5 nights, and How long did you go? I mean, did you find that it, especially being by yourself, was it sufficient time to enjoy everything?
Yeah, so I'm in college, so I was on a college budget, so I couldn't stay as long as I wanted. So I stayed for 3 days. I spent 2 days in Disneyland and 1 day in DCA. And I think it was sufficient enough to get the average person stuff done, especially if you do go, go, go. But I wanted to see everything. So I didn't quite, there was a few things that I missed, but overall, I think I did get a very good general overview of Disneyland.
Man, sounds great. You got to go to Walt Disney World, Disneyland. It's a great way to start the week. So as we wrap it up today, and I got so many other questions because I love talking Disneyland too, but, you know, give somebody a tip. Like, what's something you learned either from your world trip, you know, with the family and celebrating, you know, those milestones in your family, or also traveling solo? So leave somebody with a nugget that can help them plan their next trip.
Oh, goodness, you're putting me on the spot here,
Mike. I know. That's what we do here. See, I don't have my co-host, so you're the co-host today.
All right. So I definitely learned the most from my solo trip, you know, just because this was the first thing I'd ever done, you know, even just all by myself. It's the first time I flew. And I tried to pack so much into those 3 days, but I really enjoyed just walking around and seeing Disneyland and really taking it in. Like, you know, while even if you go, 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 when you're eating that Mickey bar, don't just run. Take a second and look, you know, try to find the little man of Disneyland. Go see the bench where Walt originally thought of Disneyland. There's so many little details in Disneyland because it's so small. It has to be so well planned. And there's so many things in there that are easy to miss if you don't just take the time for 5 minutes to look around and see where you are.
I'll remember that when I get out there, because that is what I want to do. I'm going to soak in the atmosphere. I want to, you know, not only see Walt or Disneyland, but I want to like feel Walt Disney himself. You know, I think that's what I really want to experience.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that you'll miss if you just go from one ride to the next to the next.
All right. Well, Bree, thanks so much for kicking off another week with us here on the show. Great way to talk Walt Disney World and Disneyland. So happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We can say that now that we're past Thanksgiving. And thanks for the time on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Don't forget, today's episode brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of crowds, seeing the most amount of attractions at both Walt Disney World and Disneyland and even Universal. That's right. So check out all the great services they offer. Great stocking stuffer for the Disney fan in your life. They're over at touringplans.com. Also, don't forget, you can pick up a copy of Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. If last holiday season you bought the Disney fan in your life, The Wisdom of Walt. Now, hey, you got to keep going. Jeff Barnes put out a new book. It's focused on Walt Disney and his dream of Walt Disney World, Epcot Center, you know, the Florida Project. And you can take those lessons and apply them to your personal life. So just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Pick up Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. You can grab it at that website and on Amazon. And speaking of Amazon, holiday season's here. This is a big time for the podcast. You can really help support us with your online shopping. I believe today is Cyber Monday. I think today, hopefully you're listening to podcasts and doing some online shopping, maybe doing a little bit of work, maybe not. I'm not going to judge you. But if you're doing some online shopping, please support the podcast. Go through our link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please bookmark that here for the holiday season when you do your online shopping. It costs you nothing extra. You'll get all your Prime benefits. Nothing's different other than you can support the show when you purchase online. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon this holiday season. We really, really appreciate that. And thanks to everybody who has done that in the past. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We've got a great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, and we'd love to see you over there. All right, well, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. I know it stinks being back at work, but you know what? We got to work to have fun, and the fun, you know, this is a fun time of the year, so just slow down and take in the sights and the sounds of the season. That's what it's all about. So for Bree, I'm Mike, wishing you a happy Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.